590 WKZO. Good Saturday morning and welcome to Over the Garden Fence with your host, gardening expert Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence brought to you by, of course, Waddell's Nursery, Forest and Garden Center, located at the corner of Newham and 12th. Joining us in the studio, of course, is your gardening expert Andy Waddell. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Tim.
How are you?
I'm a little sweaty this morning.
Yeah, it is a little on the humid side, as AccuWeather was saying. 78 degrees right now, believe it or not.
Not too bad. Not too bad. But start early in the morning, you won't work up that sweat in the afternoon.
That's right. That's right. So, but first we have to, you know, take time out, because we always anticipate those timely tips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those come in very handy.
You bet. Well, let us start with those. So all good right. morning, everybody. And grab that cup of coffee and let's... You know, this morning, Tim, I was out on the front porch. Absolutely beautiful morning as I write my final note. So, beautiful day. So, welcome to another edition of Over the Garden Fence. Well, thank you for letting me be part of your Saturday morning. You know, everybody, this morning, I'd like to ask you a few questions. Maybe to respond to today about your yard and garden. Quite a change over last year's weather, isn't it? How is your garden doing? Looking okay? Maybe a little chewed up? How's those roses look? How's the roses looking? My wife was deadheading roses yesterday. They looked a little chewed up, little holes in the leaves. And how's that yard looking? Pretty nice or pretty beat up? Seen quite a few weeds and funguses in the yard lately. And boy, how is those trees? Beat up from the recent storm? Or have you been... slowly losing that tree over the last couple of years. And I tell you, I love that God replenished Michigan with very ever-needing and ever-loving moisture that we need so bad. But with the excessive rains that we've had, it is a totally different season in the yard this year compared to last year. On the news this week, last year it ranged from 99 to 105. Inside the studio, they had checkoff days of every day over 90 and every day over 100. And so I remember that list here in the wall that there were some really hot days. So my question to you is, what's attacking your prize in your yard? Issue that you're trying to take care of? Let me know what your problem is. Let's see if Waddell's can help. You might not be the only one on the block with the problem. Now, before we get started on that, each week I have been trying to tell you a little highlights in our yard. And this week there's a few opposite plants that I, on the plant spectrum. But Ashley, really, my first true highlight of this week is our prize patch of jewel black raspberries that we've been waiting and working for at least 3 to 4 years. A lot of you have heard about the raspberry patch and gutting it, stripping it out, pulling out the good plants, rototilling, spraying again, getting it all set back in. And yeah, we got some good fruit yields this year. I was loyal to try to get my dormant spray on in the early spring with the fruit tree spray and copper later this spring and a good feeding last fall for some really good spring kickoff. Our second item of interest, beautiful Japanese irises I'm walking around the yard. The stunning colors of purple, lavender, blues, and whites, and just gorgeous. Strong, tough perennial can be placed about anywhere. And before we go on with our timely tips, Tim, I would like to invite everybody to, we have the Kalamazoo Japanese Irish Show today at Waddell's.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's going on from 9:30 to 5, and we'd like you to come down and view, and I guess view but don't touch, the magnificent, beautiful display of iris in full bloom. You can actually be the judge. Look at the flowers, rate them, talk to some of the club owners, and talk to some of the growers. Again, it's from 9:30 to 5 today, and the Japanese Iris Show is at Waddell's. So just those iris is just one area in the yard, but let's first dispel some confusion that surrounds the group of iris. Once known as Camphiri iris or butterfly iris, the actual correct common name is Japanese iris. Cultivated in Japan for over 500 years, they were actually once restricted to enjoyment by royalty only. Though many think they are actually not water dwellers. They require the same conditions as ferns, a stilbe, or impatiens, just moist ground, which most gardeners can very easily provide. Like whether at the downspout that you might have, or a wet area by the well that might be, just a spot that is providing a little cool, moist ground, the Japanese iris flourish. And like I said, from purples, lavender, blue, pink, and multiple of endless bicolors, their bloom is quite different. With Japanese iris, both sets of petals are more flat, forming a simple, flat, or more beautiful flowers, or more simpler flowers is the way the Japanese have put it. Come by and buy one today. We have a great selection of Japanese iris here. And again, stop by and enjoy some of the blooms. So with the beautiful rains, while the iris and other plants have come on, we have gotten this week in Southwest Michigan, at least, very been blessed. Our diagnostic team on our store has been hard at work with all the samples that have been brought down this week. Number one issue with some of our rains has been some of the funguses. So let's start out just with a few of the top items that have been brought into the store. First of all, powdery mildew on plants is running rampant. Plants like lilac, ninebark, shrub dogwood can all be controlled very easily and needs to be controlled soon before you lose all the leaves on the plants. We suggest using Activinate wettable powder or the systemic fungicide. Powdery mildew on fruit trees like apple, cherry, peach, plum, and apricot, use Fertilon fruit tree spray. Do it now if you keep that foliage on the plant and you keep the fruit clean. With the excess fruit that is on that plant due to the drought last year, everybody should have a very good harvest. Second form of fungus is in the lawn. Clients brought in a sod sample this week from their yard, and they thought it always looked dry from a distance compared to their neighbors. Nice lawn, nice and green. Neighbors right next to me, my lawn looks, always dry. The sample actually revealed everybody that it was not dry at all, but it was actually soaking wet lawn and daily watering way too much, and I'll tell you about that in a few minutes. They had rust and red thread so bad in the lawn that it actually it showed an off-color looking dry. So we're suggesting lawns and sometimes plants can be very smart, and with one fungicide, it will work for a while, but we suggest buying two. And so using something like F-Stop made by Fertilon, and then applying maybe Scott's Lawn Fungus Control and alternating during the summer. But if you get that under control, especially the red thread in the small fescues, you'll have that green lawn come back to you. A lot of times when you have red thread so bad, a lot of that fescue dies back, you can do a fall feeding and a fall overseeding too. So we also suggested with doing that to reset his sprinkler to irrigate less often and longer, only two or three times a week. Did you know daily irrigation makes for a weak landscape and a weak yard? Imagine having a drink every single day. Plant doesn't need to work, does it? Roots can stay on the top. Lawn gets very weak. Plant material never even grows deep down into the roots. That's a lot of apartment or condos. The lawn is being irrigated every single day. And so those plant roots hardly even have a chance to establish themselves. A lot of times we will pull out dead plants that were not planted by Waddells, and they are just in standing water, way too much water. Next fungus we are seeing right now, and along with everybody, is mushrooms. Mushroom fungi usually grows on dead and decaying matter and is usually from the roots of a tree or a past tree that is gone. A tree that's been taken out, stumps have been and ground out, but there's still all kinds of roots left in the ground that sit there dormant, and on most dry, hot summers, we do not see a thing. But because of this moist summer and a lot of the cool rains that we've had, the cutoff roots aren't growing anymore. They're just sitting dormant, and they start to rot. Dead, decaying wood touching soil, fungi can be present, and mushrooms enter into your yard. So we have a couple options. Mushrooms will not disease or infect a yard, so just making sure you all know that. Actually, some fungi or spore activity is good because it helps actually an organic breakdown in the soil. But very unsightly, they are. I have some that are right out by the road, and they're huge toadstools, and mow them off every week, and they come right back. So from all the tree roots, old and new, we're suggesting a couple things. Either mow, bag them, and dispose in a compost pile. So that way you're not spreading the spore throughout the yard. Option two, dig up all the tree roots. Old, new, tear out all those roots, dig out and replace all the sod. Sounds like a little challenge there. Or option three is Fertilom Consan 20. Consan 20 is the only product that we can suggest for mushrooms. That's the only item that is actually labeled. It is a fungicide, an algicide, and a disinfectant, but it can be applied directly to the mushrooms and will help out in the lawn. So when we come back, Tim, we've just gone over a little fungus, but there is a lot of other items that are entering in the yard, a lot of bugs and insects for this week that we can talk about. And again, we'd love to thank any callers and give me some of your response on what's happening in your yard.
All right, that we shall. 382-4280, 1-877, 382-4280, Over the Garden Fence with Andy Waddell. We'll be right back.
The lawn pros at Waddell's have seen many people bringing in samples of their lawn problems. To assure a healthy lawn during the unusual weather we're having, be sure to apply Scott's Lawn Fungus Control for diseases and GrubX for grub control. Scott's Lawn Fungus Control prevents and controls summer lawn diseases like dollar spot, red thread, brown spot, and more. Apply it now to prevent lawn diseases later this summer. Now's also the time to apply GrubX to your lawn to prevent it from being destroyed by an invasion of grubs. Grubs can cause extensive damage to turf by feeding on grass roots. GrubX is the quickest, easiest way to prevent invasions of grubs and keep your lawn looking its best. It's time to put Scott's Lawn Fungus Control and GrubX on your lawn before damage shows up and forget about lawn diseases and grubs. If you're not sure what your lawn needs, bring in a sod sample for Waddell's lawn doctors to diagnose and give you a prescription so you'll be sure to put on the right product the first time. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, greening Southwest Michigan for 67 years on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
590 WKZO as we continue with this morning's edition of Over the Garden Fence. Joining us in the studio, your gardening expert, Andy Waddell. You can be a part of the program as well if you have a comment or question for Andy. 382-4280-1877. 382-4280.
You bet. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, everybody. And we're talking about the Japanese Irish show that is here today at Waddell's from 9:30 to 5. We'd love you to come down and come and vote on these beautiful Japanese iris display. We also have some events that are coming up that we have worked on. We have a summer seminar series that is starting this next week on the 13th. And we go through July and early August. Sometimes it is the maybe the dog days of summer, but you know what? It is an optimal time with the cool weather. Yes, it's warm, but not 100 degrees. Great time to get something done out in the yard. I'm looking forward to actually getting out and working in some areas in the yard that I haven't been at. So next Saturday, we have July 13th, 10 o'clock. We have butterfly gardening, best practices and plants for attracting beautiful butterflies. And at 11:15, we have adding the relaxing sights and sounds of water to your landscaping. So that's on the 13th. On the 20th, we have a walk and talk garden sensory tour. It highlights the perennials and ideas that create a garden that appeals to all your senses. Our grounds manager, Marilyn Brew, does that. And then we also have drip irrigation for roses. So we're having the Southwest Michigan Celebration of Roses group in and learning about drip and other types of irrigations for flowers, roses, and more. So there's more later on in the summer, 27th and the 3rd. We have more seminars coming up, but we're inviting you. A lot of these seminars are free. Go online and you can take a look at them, and we're posting them. There's a few that are coming up that have a small cost to it, but a lot of them are craft projects too. So when I went off the last few minutes talking about, I don't always want to say about bugs or insects, but I'll tell you, this week, we were talking about fungus a few minutes ago, and I'll tell you, those bugs are running rampant. There is a very heavy infestation of aphid, spider mite, ticks, mosquitoes. So for starters, last night, Eli and myself had done some pruning, and we both had ticks on us from just pruning. We're pruning a large Amur maple. We're just taking the branches into the truck and hauling them to a burn pile. And sure enough, he had one right on the back of his shoulder blade. Later on, I was just, after pruning out late last night, grabbing a quick shower, and sure enough, there was one on my neck. So again, as you're coming in, check out your animals the same way. A lot of times those ticks will ride the dog in, and if they can't get on it, they'll jump onto something else. So ticks, go ahead and use the high-yield bug blaster granulars. You can provide the barrier in the yard and 38-plus if you want to do the spraying. So next thing's been aphid. Aphid has been all over. Aphid's been on spirea. It's been on weeds. It's been on dogwoods. You name it. A lot of times, burning bush right now is just loaded with aphid. A lot of curling or contorting of foliage. You can see very easy aphid damage from a distance. Horticultural oil, 10% permethrin spray, or I love an item called Triple Action. It's a insecticide, fungicide, and miticide. It will actually take care of three areas with one spray. So look at your aphid problem. If you see a contortion, say on your burning bush, you could walk right out and go, oh, now I'm wondering what was wrong with that plant. You'll notice closely, aphid is usually not on the top. It is usually on the underside. A lot of green is the live, and sometimes the aphid gets so heavy that their secretion is ants are drawn to that. So you sometimes see ants going up and down the stem of a plant that is very heavy loaded with aphid. Spider mite, I'm going to say next, is attacking my little Alberta spruce at home. Our little Alberta, excuse me. I have a little Jean's Dilly, which is a dwarf little Alberta. Started out with a nice hue of green. And then slowly but surely, it's turned to a smoky cast. And I looked at it last night. It looks brown. And it is so moist, I know it has not been dry. But revealing closely, if you want any idea of how to look for spider mite, everybody, take a clean 8.5 by 11 white sheet of paper. Go ahead on an item. Arborvita and or cedar or Alberta spruce are probably some of the key things with spider mite right now. You can take that piece of paper, actually shove it into the plant, keeping it flat on your hand, and tap the branches. A lot of times the branches will reveal just with tapping them, small little itty bitty spider mite. Tim, spider mite is so small that like 10 of them could fit like on the top of a pencil head.
That's small.
And they are red, so like on a piece of white paper, they show up very easy. Mm-hmm. So when you tap, a lot of times you can see that spider mite come onto the onto the paper, and you can actually smear it. If it is a red cast, you're smearing spider mite, but you're also identifying what's the problem. So with spider mite, we suggest malathion mixed with horticultural oil. The malathion is probably going to be your best bet. There's some items that just won't take care of spider mite, but malathion will, or the triple action. So just an issue on there. And we also talked about mosquitoes. Now, I'll tell you, we had a couple callers last week on mosquitoes. Some people have never seen them so bad this year. Maybe it is because of some of the stagnant water that is in some of the fields. Some of those areas are quite moist and stagnant water. Again, malathion or 10% permethrin spray. If you're spraying the boundaries or some of the shrubs, and if you're doing a guard in the lawn, you want to do the natural guard lawn shield repellent. So just a couple ideas on bugs. And when we come back, I got a to-do list on some of the other things we can talk about.
All right, we'll cover those coming up. 590 WKZO, 931. Let's check in with CBS to check local news. I'll be back with Andy in just a bit.
CBS News Update. I'm Jim Taylor.
The Moscow terminal odyssey may be ending for Edward Snowden. The NASA leaker has been offered safe haven by the presidents of two South American nations in Caracas. Here's reporter Andrew Rosati, who says no one's too surprised about it.
Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and Nicaraguan President Daniel Ortega in the past have constantly clashed with the United States. So it comes as no surprise, really, that they're offering him asylum.
CBS's Wyatt Andrews in Washington.
The offers give Snowden a way out of the transit lounge of the Moscow airport, where he's been stranded since he fled Hong Kong almost 2 weeks ago. At that point, the State Department revoked his passport, and the Russians made clear they had no interest in keeping him.
There is no word yet on Snowden's reaction to these offers. He has appealed to more than 20 countries for asylum, hoping to evade trial in the U.S. on charges of revealing classified government information. CBS News Update. I'm Jim Taylor.
Kalamazoo public safety officers are investigating two shootings that occurred on Thursday night. Witnesses in the 1,000 block of Hayes Park say that a man pulled a gun out of the trunk of his car and then just started firing at random. A 52-year-old man sitting on his porch was hit in the leg by one of those shots. He was treated and released. The second shooting occurred shortly after midnight near Patterson and Rose. A 21-year-old victim said he was just walking down the street when a bullet hit him in the chest. He's expected to recover. The fifth annual CKNS Rail Fan Festival is coming up in Parchment. On Saturday, July 13th, fans of the railroad will converge on Kindleberger Park to hear stories of the historic line that helped shape the whole region. They'll have guest speakers, train music, model train displays, souvenirs, and much more. The event is July 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And the state Supreme Court has declined to issue supervisory opinions on potential challenges to Michigan's right-to-work law. Governor Rick Snyder had requested it. The court instead says it would rather wait to hear specific challenges to the law. In the WKZO.com newsroom, I'm Andrew Green.
Honey, careful with that firecracker, okay?
Honey, I know what I'm doing. It's just a firecracker.
Happy birthday, America, from all of us here at 590 WKZO.
Do you have areas in your landscape that could use some more color? Weddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center has fresh shipments of colorful plants that will brighten up your outdoor living area. This week, get daylily plants. There are over 40 colors to choose from. More beauties you won't want to miss include yarrow plants, coreopsis, rudbeckia, hostas, Shasta daisies, campanula, and echinacea coneflowers. If you need something a little larger for your landscape, check out the many blooming hydrangea shrubs. There's Twist and Shout, the re-blooming lace cap pink hydrangea, and the summer blue hydrangeas, Annabelle's with their huge white blooms, and over 20 other varieties. For some height in your landscape, get flowering clematis vines in various shades of purple, pink, white, or red. More vines to add colorful interest include porcelain vine, honeysuckle, wisteria, and bittersweet. Add a bright spot in any garden or container with annuals. Choose from several varieties in the extra-large size. Just ask one of the Michigan Certified Nursery Specialists for advice on which plants would be best for your landscape. Weddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Mill and 12th Street.
WKZO.com, AccuWeather Forecast.
Quite humid today with clouds and sun, an afternoon spotty shower or thunderstorm as well, high 84. There can be a spotty evening thunderstorm tonight, otherwise partly cloudy and muggy overnight, the low 68. Tomorrow, clouds and sun, a thunderstorm can't be ruled out, mainly across eastern areas. A high tomorrow reaching 86 degrees. I'm AccuWeather meteorologist Dan DePodwin.
Get AccuWeather anytime at WKZO.com.
Where do you go to get professional plant advice and the best quality plants available in our area? Weddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, of course. Weddell's has Michigan-certified nursery specialists, Scots-trained lawn pros, and master gardeners on staff to help you choose the right plants for your area or help you diagnose what may be wrong with your existing plants. Stop in and see for yourself. You'll find the best selection of trees, shrubs, perennials, evergreens, and any products and tools you may need to care for your outdoor living area. You'll also find the plant doctor who can help you with a bothersome weed, an irritating insect, or a sick plant. Do you have concerns about your lawn, trees, perennial, or vegetable gardens? Do you have Japanese beetles, aphids, a watering problem? Bring in a sample of the plant and some soil from around it to get an accurate assessment of the problem and a prescription for control and prevention techniques. You can also bring in a one-cup sample of your soil to get a free pH test. Weddell's plant doctor is always in and ready to help you. Weddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center is on Texas Drive at the corner of Milliman 12th Street.
WKZO, 79 degrees in Kalamazoo. Sunny Saturday morning. Comments and questions for Andy. He's joining us in the studio.
382-4280, 1-877-382-4280. Andy Waddell, your gardening expert, over the garden fence on 590 WKZO.
You bet. You bet. Thank you, everybody. And talking about enjoyment on the 4th and how some people got hurt with the, some of the fireworks at the same time. And so this week, last night we were out looking and there's fireworks in every direction when they're jamming.
Oh, yeah.
And so just be careful as you're shooting them off this weekend. So feel like taking a call?
Oh, that we can. That we can. Let's first join up with Mark. He's calling in from Otsego. Good morning, Mark.
Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. Yes, I have a question for you concerning cherry trees or bush. Out in my dad's field, he's mm-hmm. got some that are growing wild, you know?
Yeah, black cherry. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just wonder if they look like trees, but they're actually like a bush, aren't they?
Well,
there's two or three of them that are growing together.
And what happens, Mark, is wild cherry probably has droppings from a bird. They go ahead and eat the seeds, and they drop, but probably drop two or three seeds at a time. Or a cherry, even one seed, will grow, but probably turn into a clump and will for sure someday be a tree, Mark. But if you have some that you'd like to shape up, you could take two or three of those stems out and try to create a nice tree out of that clump. It is the same plant, bush form, tree form. It's just a tree that's gone into multiple stem as that seed or as that wild tree starts growing instead of normal trees. Even like a maple, Mark, doesn't necessarily want to be a single stalk. It shoots out multiple branches a lot of times out in the wild. But cherry trees, something that you were trying to save or out in your dad's field, yeah. You said?
Yes, yeah. I kind of wanted to transplant them into my yard, and I just wondered if those were trees or if there was a bush. You know?
Yep. Nope, that would be a tree, and your time to do it would be coming up. You want to do that about last of September, middle of October, after those leaves have dropped. They would transplant fairly easy. Take a look at the size trunk of the tree, Mark, and at about 6-inch level, make sure if it's a 1-inch caliper that you dig about 12 inches of root for every inch caliper. So if it's a 2-inch tree, 6 inches off the ground, make sure you have a 24-inch root ball when you're trying to lift it up. When you move it, go ahead and mulch it in, and you're moving it in the fall, so mulch it in well so it goes into the winter nice and moist.
Okay, but I can separate these trees and make, like, out of one group, I can make three trees or something?
You probably can't. Probably what you'll have to do is it'll be one root structure, Mark, and you'll probably have to cut the other two out if there was a group of three and leave the most dominant leader or the best straightest portion of the tree and then remove the other portions that are maybe on an angle or bent a little bit.
Oh, I see. Okay, and then just plant that tree so it's as straight as it can be, right?
Yep, and as it gets older, if there's more sucker sprouts or water sprouts that come from the sides, you can always just trim those off and try to create a single-leader tree. A lot of times I'll see people do that with walnuts just out in the wild and try to trim them up so they can get, you know, harvest the wood someday and a nice straight tree trunk out of that. So it's something that you can be doing.
Okay, so when I cut those other two off, I don't want to cut the root system. I want to cut the tree itself.
Cut the tree itself. If you lift that plant up and you find that the three trees just fall away from each other and it is actually three trees, you could split them up. Chances are, Mark, it's not. It's one tree that's multiple branches that's coming out of the ground.
Okay, and the part that I cut off, the other two trees, do I want to bury them?
No, throw that portion away and then leave the tree that's good, the straight trunk, dig up the root ball, leave the root ball intact to that trunk that you've left.
How high above the ground level do I want to cut the other two off?
Oh, right at ground level. Slice them off right at the ground level. So then as the plant grows and gets older, that trunk is not 3 or 4 inches out of the ground.
Oh, I see.
Slice them right off the ground so it looks like it's a single tree.
I see. Okay, and what about maple trees? Would that be about the same time I could transplant maple trees?
Yep, after you see the golden or the red of the leaves drop and you start seeing maple trees drop, that's your best time in late fall.
Okay, all right, and use that root stimulator, right?
Root stimulator, and then I'd use the mics on the same time on it and stimulate with peat moss and cow manure down in the ground. You should have some pretty good success. Wild tree transplanting is a challenge. You'll have probably some success, but I think you'll still have some. It's better than leaving them in your dad's field.
Right, and my next question is when I plant it in the ground, do I want to build a mound? Do I want it to be on a mound there with wood chippings around it, or
you want to bury it ground level to ground level and then put the chips around it like a moat so it holds the water in. I would never create a mound other than just leaving the tree up a little high, maybe 10 or 15%, but creating it at the same and planting it at the same soil level so it is planted right at the same soil. Put a moat around it so it'll hold the water in.
I see.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet.
All right, appreciate the call, Mark. Let's quickly go to Angie, giving us a call right here in Kalamazoo. Good morning.
Hey, Angie, thanks for calling.
What are aphids?
What are aphids? You know what, Angie? Aphid, if you look on the underside of a leaf, it is a small, itty-bitty little green. It is not a shelled insect. It is a small, soft, light, lime green insect, Angie, that is usually on the underside of spirea, burning bush. If you hold one in your hand, you would just kind of almost touch it, and it would smash in your fingers. Very, very light lime color. Aphid is a sucking insect that actually draws moisture out of those leaves and makes them contort.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Angie.
All right. Thank you very much for the call, Angie. And we got time real quickly for Larry. He's calling us from Paw Paw.
Larry, how are you?
Yeah, good morning, George. Hey, listen, I planted some Carpathian walnut, English walnut.
You bet. You know,
and they've got a lot of shoots coming out under them. Can I trim them this time of the year?
You bet, Mark. Larry, Mark was just, that's two callers ago. Go ahead. We're just talking about walnuts. Clean up those sucker sprouts or the water sprouts. Because really on Carpathian, you're trying to get a little tree out of it instead
of... That's what I want.
You don't want to turn into a bush. So, and the water sprouts, Larry, are just going to deplete from the growth of the tree. So clean them off. If there's anything big, you know, do a double cut, but clean them off quarter inch or half inch away from the tree trunk.
Okay, George. Yeah, thank you very much. I enjoy your program.
Thank you, Larry. Hope good luck on the Carpathians.
Okay, yeah, bye.
You bet.
All righty. Thank you very much, Larry, and all the callers this morning. A lot of great info, and of course, we'll pick up where we left off next Saturday morning. So thank you very much for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, everybody.
And this has been Over the Garden Fence with your gardening expert, Andy Waddell. Over the Garden Fence, of course, brought to you each and every Saturday morning. Waddell's Nursery, Florist, and Garden Center, located right there at Milam and 12th Street. Tune in again next Saturday morning, same time, right after the 9 o'clock news, Over the Garden Fence. Coming up next, financial planner Ron Weiser and CBS News at 10 o'clock. Looking at a humid day with times of clouds and sun, an afternoon shower, thunderstorm. We can't rule that out in some spots around the area. High of 84. Right now, 80 degrees in Kalamazoo. 590 WKZO, 945.